So a couple of weeks ago, Pastor John spoke about Charlie Kirk's assassination. And I hope, I know you've been hearing about it for a month, so just give me just a few minutes to speak on it. But I wanted to touch on it myself because he made a great impact on me. And it hit hard because I would listen to him every afternoon on the podcast while I was at work. Charlie was the founder of Turning Point USA and a community college dropout, as he called himself. He was so wise for his young age, and he was knowledgeable about politics, American history, Constitution, laws, and most importantly, the Bible. He could have a civil debate with anyone with respect and dignity. And he would pretty much always share his faith at some point and have a smile doing it. And pretty much anyone who dared debate Charlie usually came out on the losing end. I believed that he would be president one day. But that's not going to happen. He was taken from us. To be clear, I think he wasn't assassinated for his political views, but for his Christian views. As Milton was kind of talking earlier, revivals are happening with young people. And they're happening with young people due to Charlie's influence. And I urge you, if you haven't seen Charlie in action, please go to YouTube and check out some of his videos. They are very entertaining and informative. He always gave his opposition the opportunity to speak and treated all with respect and dignity. You know, there are several things that stood out to me about Charlie's faith. And I'd like to go over them with you this morning, because I believe they could help us become a more effective witness for Jesus. Charlie Kirk was on fire for Jesus. He was excited about his faith. Okay, can y'all remember the excitement you had when you started living for the Lord or you got saved? I do. I was on fire for Jesus. I wanted everyone to experience the salvation that God gave me. I was hungry to know Jesus. I started going to church on a regular basis, read the Bible, and I sought out other resources to learn more. You know, I could just drive by a church and I felt drawn to it. I wanted to be there. It made me feel like being around other Christians and being at church made me feel closer to Jesus. And it still does. But during that time, I needed discipling. And on a side note, I struggled many years as an immature Christian because no one discipled me. As the body of Christ, we need to make sure we come up with a plan to disciple these new Christians, or we'll lose them to the world in just a few weeks. Jesus said in Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them," that word stands out to me, "teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Let me ask you a question, but don't answer it out loud. Had you lost the fire for Jesus that you once had? I thought about that. For me, no, I haven't lost my fire, but there are plenty of room to raise the temperature. Through my growth in Christ, I have learned to channel my excitement for the Lord through service and ministry for the glory of God. Maybe you felt like you've lost a little bit of your flame. And you're wondering, how can you get it back? First, repent. Keep a repentant heart. Jesus is always willing to forgive. Next, be joyful. Remember back on what God's done for you in your life and what He's brought you out of. Where would you be? Remembering back on your testimonies is a good way to rekindle that fire. Be excited about your faith. It is a must to be effective in sharing your faith with others. And lastly, give God praise. I occasionally listened to Andrew Womack's teaching, and he said, praise is more like the engine of a train that makes things happen. Your faith isn't complete without praise. Praise affects you. It affects the devil. It affects God. And it touches every part of your life. Psalm 100, verses 4 through 5 says, enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name, for the Lord is good and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues throughout all generations. Let's give praise and be jubilant for God's salvation and righteousness. Charlie Kirk was not ashamed of the gospel. He told everyone and anyone that he was a Christian. Romans 1:16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. First the Jew, then the Gentile. Why would I be ashamed? He created me, He died for me, and He saved me from eternity in hell. Now think about this. If your neighbor saved your life, would you be ashamed of him or her in front of others? Of course not. Jesus has done that and much, much, much more. It's sad that some people are afraid to talk about their faith outside the church. Maybe it's because of pride. What will others think about me? Or it could be other things. Afraid of the loss of friends, family, jobs, etc. Listen to what Jesus had to say in Matthew 10:32-42. I believe I got that wrong. That sounds like a lot of verses. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. Staying quiet about your faith is not an option. Right now, Christians as a whole, living in the United States, don't have to fear for their lives. Of course, there are a few exceptions, such as Charlie Kirk. I will say this, if you're going to follow Jesus, it's going to cost you something. It's going to be different for everyone and different scenarios as we go through life. One of the first things I noticed, I lost friends or so-called friends. I don't think they had anything against Christians. I guess they just thought I might ruin their good time, or they couldn't relate to me anymore. My social life went from the top to rock bottom. But that's just some quick example. There are many we face throughout the lives. But it's okay. those are minor. People are dying by the hundreds around the world every day just because they are Christians. And we are blessed to live in the United States. But there may come a day soon when some of us in this room may be martyred for their faith in Jesus Christ. Romans 8:18 says, "For I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." But think about it. Does it really cost us anything in the long run? In the light of eternity or death? Apostle Paul says in Philippians 1:21, "For me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." It's not about us. It's about Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He needs to be the priority in our lives. First, above our family, our friends, our finances, etc. You have many people who don't know Jesus that you have influence with. Maybe they won't listen to anyone in the church, but they'll listen to you. Don't miss that opportunity for them and for you. Share Jesus. What's stopping you? Share a testimony of yours. Let the Holy Spirit take over from there. Your words may plant a seed in their heart. And it may take some time to grow. Or they just might outright reject it. But you were obedient. Evil is growing in this world. I occasionally listen to Billy Graham channel on my Sirius radio. And Billy said something that had me shaking my head. The sermon was from the early 60s. And he was talking about how bad society was and how godly, ungodly people had become. What does this say about the time we are living in today? Not good. We have been like the frog in warm water, which is being brought to boil slowly. The frog will not perceive the danger and ultimately be cooked to death. I believe now the devil is ramping up things because he knows he is running out of time. And we need to ramp it up as well. We have been silent for too long, and we need to get in the fight for the lost souls as well as for our nation and the world. When I say we, I mean the body of Christ in this nation as a whole. We have dropped the so-called baton, and evil has picked it up. In the last 50 years, it's hard to believe that our nation has spiraled down so fast. But we can do something about it. We need to pray. Also, we need godly men and women to get involved, become councilmen, mayors, senators, congressmen, teachers, and many other professions that we can help shape our nation to counter the worldly system of the devil. Only with God's help can we turn our nation around. As was spoken earlier, pray for a great awakening. Wouldn't you love to be one nation under God with liberty and justice for all? Charlie Kirk was obedient to share the gospel and his testimony with others. It was important to him, and it should be important to us. One verse really came to mind about Charlie Kirk, and it was Revelation 12, verse 11. And it says, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives unto death. We have a lot of work to do. Jesus said in Matthew 9, verses 35 through 38, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of harvest to send out laborers unto his harvest." For myself, I've been lax. Working at home, I don't have many opportunities as I once did. When I worked around the office, I was able to live out and speak my faith around my coworkers. I miss that. But I need to come up with a new plan, and I intend to do that. The assassination of Charlie Kirk was a horrible and evil thing, but good came out of something so heinous. Across social media and news outlets report there are people who have never been to church that are now attending. People are praying, and Bible sales have spiked. The weeks following, it is reported that the church attendance is up 15%. Turning Point USA had over 37,000 new chapter requests after his death. That's so amazing. It reminded me of Romans 8:28. It says, "And we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." Charlie is now resting in the arms of his heavenly Father. But for us, we are still here. That means God has work for us to do in his kingdom. Let us not squander our opportunity because we were born for a time such as this. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day that you have given us and the blessings that go with it. We want our lives to glorify you. Help us to be an extension of Jesus in ministry and love to all people. Teach us to share your powerful words with others. And in Jesus' name, amen.